All right, it's good to be back tonight. I appreciate the opportunity and the privilege. You got your Bible, turn to the book of Psalms. I just want to read one verse, then we'll go to Luke chapter 2, Psalms chapter 78. I hadn't said anything any of the nights I preached or days, no kind of opening remarks. I'll take just a minute tonight to say I appreciate Shady Acres Baptist Church and appreciate your friendship. I remember the first time I was here 3 years ago, and some of the Mexican brethren got up. I don't remember who they was, but they sung that song, "The King is Coming." It was a visiting guy. I don't know who he was. But I remember God got in here when he got to singing that, and I never had been with Brother Woods in a meeting. I never had been here, but I remember God touching me right back on that back pew, and I got up on the pew and went to shouting and a hollering and a praising God. When I finally come to myself, I was up on the pew a screaming, and when I finally got back to the motel room, I told them boys from Birmingham with me, I said, "You know, Brother Woods, he must be my kind. He didn't even call me down or nothing back there. I was shouting." You know what I mean. You know, a lot of folks you fellowship with and preach with, but you're really not your kind. But he was kind of flagging me on back there. I remember him kind of sicking me on, and he never did throw the brakes on or nothing. And I'd like to say that's a dying breed today that'll let you worship in the old-time way. I punched a fellow the other day and nudged him over here when Brother Earl Hughes was preaching. I said, I think it was Brother Shannon Nix, I said, "Shannon, we're privileged to get to hear a man like Earl Hughes." I said, "Our children will probably never hear a man like Earl Hughes. That's a dying breed standing in the pulpit there." And I said, "We're privileged to get to hear him." But I appreciate you. It's been a wonderful blessing for us to be here this week. Thank you for the help toward our ministry. I hadn't said anything all week, but our camp meeting will start August the 31st through September the 4th. It'll be our first Heart of Dixie Baptist camp meeting. And Brother Woods will be there with us, and Brother Farley. And we, really against my better judgment, I booked a Yankee. Brother Tim Green will be there with us. And Brother Harry Nix and Brother Earl Hughes and some men like that. And I was just kidding about that. Really, I believe when everybody gets saved, they become a Southerner. But I appreciate being here. It's a real blessing. And your pastor's just kind of like a daddy to me in the ministry. And I love him and appreciate him. Psalms chapter 78, and then Luke chapter 2, and then two or three places. We won't be very long tonight. Of course, you know that's standard procedure. I saw this verse the other night when Brother Weldon used it, and I want to use it just as opening verse tonight. Psalm chapter 8, 78 and verse 4. Psalm 78 and verse 4. The Bible said, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for this blessed week you've given us this week out here. And Lord, everybody's tired and wore out. Lord, it'd be real good if you could just kind of give us a fresh touch tonight and break our hearts and use us and speak to us and help us. Lord, we're such a needy people. Lord, I pray you'd save precious people, Lord, and you'd touch people that are cold and indifferent. Thank you for the little children that got saved this morning. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for the ones that cared enough to bring them and concerned about them, Lord. God, we thank you for what you've done now, and we ask you to help us to help others, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2, I'd like to just say a little something tonight about along the thought of that you can't hide Jesus. You can't hide Jesus. You know, the devil's been trying to hide him for a long time. Push him in the back corner and just hide him, but nobody couldn't see him. And I thought about that scripture there when he's talking about some things that we shouldn't hide and how that was preached the other night. But you know, man has tried to hide Jesus for ages. The devil's tried to hide him. They tried to hide him on the cross. They tried to hide him in the cemetery. They tried to hide his coming. They tried to hide his crowning. But I'm going to say to you tonight, you just can't hide Jesus. He'll break out. I mean, he'll break out where you can see him. He'll reveal himself. I mean, through the ages, people's tried to hide him. But he just can't be hid. He'll break out. Now, I'd just kind of like to give you a little heart talk tonight about some places that I thought about where the devil tried to hide him at. I thought about how they tried to hide him in the manger over here in Luke chapter 2. Bible said there in verse 7 that she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. That's a pretty good place to try to hide him, wasn't it? Over there in the barn, over there with the animals, over there where there wasn't no room for him in the inn. Just take him, wrap him in a manger, put him there away where the world couldn't see him, just kind of obsolete over there, just kind of stowed away where nobody couldn't see him, nobody couldn't find him, just way over there in a manger. The Son of God wrapped in swaddling clothes, just laying over there, looked like nobody would ever find him, or nobody would never see him. And I want you to know Jesus couldn't be hid over that manger. He couldn't hide him. Thought about over in Isaiah where they said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The holy virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. That sign was given. I mean that a virgin would bear a son. And he said here in verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I mean that sign was given. There, carried away there in that manger. There, carried away where nobody couldn't see him. And there the devil said, we'll hide him over there in that manger where nobody can't see him and nobody can't find him. But our Savior was not to be hid over there in that manger. That sign of that virgin conceiving. I mean, can you imagine about that time when the Lord was birthed and they took him and wrapped him in swaddling clothes? They laid him in that manger. You believe what you want, but I believe that little mama lamb and mama sheep over there in the next stall must have kicked up her heels and said, praise God. That's the Lamb of God over there being born. Mama ox must have raised her head back and bellowed to high heaven and said, glory to God. That's the Savior over there being born. You could not hide him over there in a manger. He wouldn't be hid. Couldn't be hid. The sign was given. And I thought about the song that was sung. Verse 13 and verse 14. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Song was sung. God sent a multitude, and they gathered around and sung the song. The Lord laying there at a lonely table in a manger over there where nobody had room for it. But he could not be hid, beloved. He could not be hid. Now I thought about the shepherds here. These little shepherd boys. Looks like the Lord was going to be hid any by the devil trying to hide him from just common man, don't it? Just hide him from the common man where he couldn't find him. Over here in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2, the Bible said that there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These little men here in verse 8, these shepherds was laboring men, just common men. In verse 9, he said, "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Here, these men, as the angels came to them, they was laboring men, they was listening men, but they was leaving men. They decided to go and see that baby wrapped in a manger. And there, when they got there to him, they was learning men. When they left, the Bible said in verse 17 and 18, they began to make known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They were litigating men. They began to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell about him there laying in a manger. In verse 20, the Bible said, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen that he was told unto them. He was loving men. I mean, it looks like if any place the Lord could have been hid, it would have been in that manger. But the Lord could not be hid in the manger. Even though he was away from society, he began to break out and show himself. And God the Father revealed his son there, born in a manger. Looks like he'd have been hid there. Let me say this. I thought about this. It looks like the devil tried to hide him there in a manger, but he couldn't be here. And then it looks like the devil tried to hide him in money. I thought about how he tried to. 1 Timothy 6 says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Looks like he is going to try to hide him in money throughout all the ages. I thought about how that he tried to hide him in that silent money. Over in Matthew chapter 28, when that religious crowd came to those soldiers and gave them money and said, just be quiet. Just tell them they stole him away in the night. Don't tell them he's got up out of the graveyard. Victorious. Just, this is silent money. Just tell them that they stole him. Don't tell them that he really resurrected. That's silent money. But them soldiers, they knew in their heart that they had nobody stole the Lord away. They knowed he had got up out of that cemetery and checked out on that third and glorious day. They knowed that in their heart. And I want to say to you tonight, I know it in my heart, beloved. That silent money don't hide him from me. I know he got up out of the cemetery. He's alive forevermore. And glory to God, that money, that silent money couldn't hide him. He broke out. When I thought about that silver monetary that old Judas got, he just reached over and got him 30 pieces of silver and sold the Lord out. And the devil said, I've got him hid in that money. But you find Judas taking that 30 piece of silver and casting it at their feet and saying, I've betrayed the innocent blood. I've betrayed that innocent blood. And that money began to speak out and break out and say, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't be hid in that silver monetary. He couldn't be hid in that sacrificial mat. That little widow woman came by one day with. She didn't have but two mites. That's all she had. That religious crowd said, what's the big deal? She hadn't got but two little mites. But it was all that she had. She reached out and gave it to the glory of God. And little did she know that the Lord himself was sitting there watching. Watching her. And her mouth was a saying that Jesus Jesus cannot be healed. Though the devil took money and used it wickedly, I'm telling you, Jesus cannot be healed in money. I thought about Joe West as he got up here and told about his mission program. Now, Brother Woods tells about this mission program. Jesus just can't be healed in that money, is it? He cannot. And then, not only, I said, well, the devil tried to hide him in that manger. He tried to hide him in that money. And then he tried to hide him in man. When Adam sinned against God, he said, I'll hide the Lord in man, where nobody can look at man and see the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll make him wicked and vile and disobedient, and he'll be hid in his own creation. I want you to know, Jesus can't be hid in man tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I thought about how he tried to hide him over there in Peter's denial. When Peter swore and cussed and said, I don't know him. I never knew him. I don't know him right there. And there the devil said, I've got him here in old Peter's denial. But glory to God, I can see him. As he called out from the shore of Galilee one day and said, have you any meat, children? And Peter and them come out the water. And there's bread and fish on the fire. And God said, lovest thou me, Peter? I'm more than thee. And Peter said, thou knowest, Lord. The devil said, I've got him hid. And old Peter, but I see him standing on the day of Pentecost, looking out across a lost religious world, and 3,000 coming and getting saved by the grace of God. And the Lord said, you can't hide me in Peter's denial. He broke out. I thought about how he tried to hide him in Paul's death. That old soldier God, walking with God, serving God, ended up in a Roman prison house, waiting on Nero's chop block. Last letter he wrote, he said, bring me the parchments. Bring your parchments when you come. He just wanted to get one more good look at that word of God. And he said, Nero said, we've got him over there in the dungeon. He'll never get out. We're going to kill him and execute him. Had him hid over there. And one morning it come execution day. Nero said, I'm going to kill Apostle Paul. I'm going to kill him and do away with him. They walked him out of that prison house. Put him down on the chop block. I pictured in my mind many times, if you don't agree with this, let me alone. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time with it. I thought about maybe if they said, Paul, have you got any last words? He might have looked over there to a little preacher boy named Timothy and said, son, I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. And now lay up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only for me, son, but for all those that love his appearing. A son, just keep marching. Just keep living. I keep preaching. Keep walking for me. And he tried to hide him, but that time the guillotine came down and cut his head off. Nero said, we've got him. Before his head ever hit the ground, he is at home with the Lord. Home with God. Tried to hide him in Peter's denial. Tried to hide him in Paul's death. Tried to hide him in a prisoner's dungeon. Over in Acts chapter 16. He said, there they are. Old Silas and Paul just over in jail. Locked up. I mean, just common prisoners. just locked up over there. They said, we got them hid over here in this prisoner's dungeon. But the Lord broke out over in jail. I mean, he broke out. The Bible said a great shaking came, and the earthquake, and the door swung open, and a common criminal, a common prisoner, an old jailer, he wouldn't call him a prisoner then, but he walked back there with it and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's a long way, isn't it, from a common prisoner. And there they was, the devil said, we've got them hid in mankind. But Jesus broke out over there in the prisoner's dungeon. God used them. I thought about what's over there tonight. I thought about over 1957. Over up in Norfolk, Virginia. Times is hard. And there's a drunk there in that town. And a whore gave birth to 3 little old children. And the drunk went off to the joint. And the woman went on to her whoring. And they left them little 3 kids in that apartment building. The boy was 2. The girl was 4. And another girl was 6. After about a week, the welfare found the little boy and the little girls there in that apartment. The little boy hadn't had a change of diaper, they said, in almost a week. It was nasty and dirty and smelly. But there's an oil. There was a woman down in Alabama that couldn't have no children. She'd been a-praying God to give her some young'uns. And the devil said, I got them hid up there in that apartment building. But the Holy Ghost found them. The oldest girl went up to Carolina with her grandmother. But the middle girl and the little baby boy, they went down to Dixieland to live with this woman that womb was barren. She took them in and loved them, prayed for them, brought them up in the admonition of the Lord. And they rebelled against that. Went out and got wicked when they got big enough to. But that old woman just stayed with God. And the devil said, I've got him hid in that boy and that girl. And I've got the Lord hid. That woman will never see Jesus in them young'uns. She never did believe that. She'd go back to her bed and she'd get on her face and say, God, I want you to save my boy and my girl. Tonight, here stands the boy. And the girls are serving God down here in Dixieland. Huh? Oh, should I know him here? He'll never see him. That old woman never did believe a word of it. She said, I believe he'll show up. And my God, he showed up right on time. Hallelujah. Oh, he showed up. He broke out. I'm telling you, you just can't hide him. He'll break out, beloved. Oh, there's some more to this, but I'm giving out. I ought to preach twice a day next week. I wrote this right here. I stand over that woman's body, my mama. Somebody asked me the other day somewhere else. He said, what about your real mama? I said, I just buried her 10 weeks ago, my real mama.
Yeah.
He never did ask me no more about none of that. I said, I buried her 10 weeks ago, my real mama.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I stood over her body 10 weeks ago, and half, about 500 in that little country church down there, they stand up all over the building. And I stood there, I asked God that morning, Miss Wood, I said, Lord, I'd like to give me something special to say about Mama. I told him, I said, we're taking her to the church house, and we're going to have camp meeting singing, and then I'm going to preach. They said, let's do it at the funeral home. I said, we're going to go to the church house. We're going to have camp meeting singing, and I'm going to preach. And I didn't say no more. They realized that's what we was going to do. And God give me this, Brother Wood, that morning right before the funeral. And I entitled it, My Mother. It says, sharecroppers one day gave birth to their third child upon this earth. A little girl was born with big brown eyes. She had a heart of love like the deep blue skies. She grew and grew and worked hard to learn life skills that would help her through. And then one day at the old church house, the preacher was a-preaching. It was quiet as a mouse. He said, Jesus is coming. You'll see him face to face. So Mama got saved by that amazing grace. She lived and walked and witnessed to others. Her conviction was one man. There was never another. She'd primp and dress, put my sister's hair in curls. She is a trust in her Savior to reach her girl. I've heard her sing and pray as she picked up my toys. She's asking God to save her boy. But now the family's serving God and the grandchildren saved too. But Mama seemed to always know that her God had come through. So we'll wait now to that morning yonder, with our hopes are bright and they're growing fonder. See you again, Mama, on heaven's bright shore. And there we'll say goodbye nevermore. Oh, as I read that at her funeral, I see grandchildren. Aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters get up all over the house and begin to weep and cry and praise God. The devil said, I've got him here. And that old woman's there. But he broke out, beloved. He broke out. I mean, you just can't hide him. He'll break out. You can't hide him. He'll get loose. I'm closed as they come to the piano. If I wouldn't give out, I tell you, you can't hide him in that meeting. God tries to hide him in a meeting. I tell you about that crowded meeting over in Mark chapter 2 when they had to let that man down through the roof. I tell you about that calm meeting over in Acts chapter 3 when that crippled boy threw down the crutches and went bleeping, praising God. I tell you about that celestial meeting. He ain't going to be hid in one of these days, beloved. But I'm give out. But I want you to know, the Lord just can't be here. I've seen him get out of the prison house, and you. I've seen him break out on death row when men get saved. I've seen him break out down on the streets of Houston. I've seen him break out up in the northern country. I mean, you just can't hide him, brother. The Lord Jesus Christ, he'll get loose and break out, beloved. And glory to God when he does. You're trying to hide him in your life. You're trying to hide him. You got him hid in your life. I mean, just something there got him hid. Something in your life got him hid. Devil, try to hide him from you, beloved. Somewhere standing in the shadows is the Savior. He's wanting to reveal himself to you. He don't want to be here tonight. Maybe you say, preacher, things are not right. I've been camp meeting here all week. I've been putting it off. I really haven't got what I need. Well, now would be a good night to get it, wouldn't it? Say, preacher, I've been putting it off all week. Why don't you go ahead tonight? We're trying to hide him. Say, preacher, I'm lost without God, but he really saved me. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. He saved you. Say, preacher, I've been saved, but there's no peace inside. I've been trying to hide him. He's trying to break out tonight. He's trying to reveal himself. Why don't you just let him? Say, Brother Danny, what's everybody going to think about me? Doesn't matter. God already knows about me and you. It don't matter what nobody else thinks. Make a bit of difference. I remember when I got saved. I went around in that community, that old country community where I live. I didn't know nothing about soul winning, witnessing, nothing like that. All I know was he's in here. Somebody said, what happened to you? I said, I don't know. All I know, the booger man moved out and God moved in. That's all I know. I was knocking on doors, walking around my community, just door to door to door. They'd come to the door and I'd say, man, I had on my hair cut off, had on that old white shirt, collar button, sleeves buttoned down. Not down. Money done been spent. Oh man, I'm telling you, there's something in my soul a bubbling. The wind was a blowing and the whale was a bubbling. And they'd come to the door and I'd say, did you hear? I got saved by the night in revival. So many people come to the door and they'd just slam the door, man. I mean, they'd say, you are crazy. I remember a couple of them old saints of God, more granny women than her, done up on the head. But what I said, I got saved. Tears began to run. They said, I've been helping your mama pray for years, boy. You just saved. Why, he'd break out right there on their porch. He'd get loose. God just rejoice with him. Go the next one, knock on it. Only one but two or three that really was glad I got saved. But them two or three was worth the whole community. Wish I could tell you what he's done the past 12 years. Mortal sight what he's done for my life. Even as a dope addict, I still walked on major junior college basketball team there in town. I was playing college basketball, the dope thing. I would have played if I'd been straight. But when I got saved, I went back in the coach's office there and I said, man, I said, I don't know nothing much. And he said, Brady, I know something happened to you. He said, you've been different the past couple of weeks. I said, Coach, I brought these shorts in here to you and these sneakers. I said, I won't be coming back no more. I got saved. I don't feel right out here in them cheerleaders out there dressed the way they are. Me out here running around in my little shorts. I said, I'm going home to serve God, Coach. The old coach went to weeping. He said, you go on, boy, and serve him. Some of them said you worked all your life to be a college basketball player. Said, now you quit. He said, you crazy. I said, we'll swap these Justin 12 lizards for them Converse 12 tonight. Amen. He just broke out in my life, and I ain't never got over it. I was thinking, I can't preach like other men. It's just not my role. I can't plow that old hard row. Brother Wood, Brother Weldon, some of them men plow. I can't plow that. Just ain't me. I like that grace and that mercy and that glory and that sin. I just me. Boy, if I don't get it, I leave here sad. That ain't much ministry, I don't guess, but I sure am glad God gave me a few little short rows I could plow down the road. I remember praying, preacher boys. I remember praying, asking God years ago, said, Lord, if you just let me preach and just give me somewhere to preach. And I always wanted to be a full-time evangelist. Always had my desire. 2 years ago, last week, I quit my job. And I remember in 85. Boy, it looked like everything was going to break, preacher. I mean, I was running all over Chattanooga, Knoxville. Boy, I mean, I was talking to the town. I went from 11 revivals in 84 to 22 meetings in 85. And I said, I'm going to quit my job. I said, I'm going home and quit my job. I told them boys in Chattanooga that last meeting I preached, I said, I got 22 revivals this year. I said, I'm going home. I'm quitting. I'm going full time. I got for a whole church 2 years ago, first week in August. I said, I ain't going to work in the morning. God, I told him he'd double my meetings from 84. He's doubled. Give me 22. I said, I'm going full-time evangelism. Some of them said, he's flipped plumb out this time. He's crazy. Boy, it looked like just everything. Boy, I mean, it looked like I had it by the tail. All of a sudden, them boys went to calling around Tennessee up at night, and they went to canceling. They said, you can't come. We ain't going to have you. First time my wife, 11 years we've been married, first time she ever questioned anything, she said, Danny, she said, you sure God's in you quitting your job? I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to hit this prison preach. Be back. Boy, I mean, it went rock bottom the whole rest of that year. 1986, so God broke out. He broke out. Them meetings went from 22 to 45. He began to break out. This year, he's already 50. Already 50 this year. He done broke out again. I can't stand him break out much more. I'm honest. I'm wearing out. I'm just telling you, never enjoy opportunity without opposition. And you ain't going to eat the grapes if you don't fight the giants. Sometimes the Lord just wants us to get out there where we can decrease, He can increase. He wants us to quit breaking out where He can break out. He'll break out in your life tonight. Stand together and let's sing. Something's missing. Something's wrong. Won't you come? Get it right with God tonight. He loves you and cares for you. Would you come?
Luke 75. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Will come your wrath with God?
Thou art
He'll take you to the
fire.
Yes, bless you. He'll take you.
I am the clay. Mow me and make me.
Will you wrath with God tonight? Break out.
Yielded and
tears. Let's let him break out your heart tonight.
Have
let that still voice message your heart story.
Lord,
you discouraged?
Have I known
what? Lost without God? Feel like nobody cares? Why don't you let the Lord just break out your life tonight?
Master today.
The devil got him healed?
Whiter than snow.
Just waiting on you to raise the white flag.
Watch me
just say, I surrender.
As in thy presence.
Don't you come tonight and surrender. Say, God, I'm through my way. I'm tired of things being done my way. Lord, I want to help you.
Have thine own way.
Let it break out in your life.
Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary.
That's what he wants to do.
Help me, I pray.
That's what he wants to do. Just break out in your life.
All back.
You know, the old fisherman that God used there, he was ignorant and unlearned men. But you know, all them people come to the conclusion that they had been with Jesus. Had been with Jesus. Tried to hide him in their life, but he just got out. He just broke out in their hearts and their lives. Tonight, that's what he's going to do in your heart and your life. He just wants to have right of way and liberty to do whatever he wants to do through you and with you. Say, Brother Danny, there ain't nothing I can do. Oh, yes. Somebody thinks you're the grandest person that ever lived. That man or woman that you work with, they think you're the ideal person. Somebody thinks you're the ideal daddy and mother. Somebody thinks you're the ideal young person or teenager. And the Lord's wanting to just break out in your life and use you and mold you and shape you for his honor and his glory. You know that boy Robert that old Dan run to God? That boy's a real blessing to me this witness meeting. He done as much for me as any of the preachers that got up here and preached. I mean, I enjoyed him. You know why? He let the Lord just break out in his life this week. He just got loose in him. And you could just see it all over him. He is just grateful for what God's done. And God was all over him and all on him. Wouldn't that be good if God could use me and you that way? I mean, it ain't the intellect God's looking for. It ain't the great mighty thing. God's just looking for somebody that'll say, here I am, God, I'm available. If you can use me, I'll be usable, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. You know what I've always prayed? I've always prayed for God to keep my eyes a-running with tears. I prayed for that. I pray for that regular. God, to not let my eyes dry up. Let me weep and let me cry when I preach. You say, that just comes natural. No, it don't. It'll dry up on you. I've seen them get dry in my life. I'd go back out there to that pine thicket at home and say, Lord, I didn't come after the book this time. And I didn't come after no knowledge or excellency of speech. I come after that broken heart, Brother Sides. Say, Lord, I come after them tears again. They dried up on me. He says, is that really what you want? I said, that's what I want, Lord. You break out. I know my heart. I wanted to break out. Do you? The church here is world famous. Everybody's heard of Shady Acres Baptist Church. Heard of Dan Meadows, the street work. Heard of Brother Bernie's Seaman Mission. Heard of John Thompson's open air evangelism. Heard of the camp meetings and the mission given here every Thanksgiving week in November. This pastor, somebody said that a while back, somewhere, and they said, boy, I like Brother Woods because he totes them pistols and he wears them boots and preaches on them queers and that Southern Baptist. It never did really impress me about Brother Woods. No one impressed me about him. It's what I saw him. I saw him reach down and get little crippled preacher boys that looked like was going down and quitting. He reached down and picked them up, helped them saddle up again, pull up their bootstraps and preach again. Take some old toe-headed boy like me by the hand when it looked like my ministry was nearly done. And he'd say, come out there and preach with me, preacher. Take some missionary and raise money for him, put him on the field. Take some reject nobody else did want it. He'd help him and use him. That's what impressed me about him. I don't care how hard he talks. He's got a heart big as Texas. I know him. That old hard stuff he does. I know the real Brother Jack Wood. I saw him break and cry on my mama over the phone. I saw him break. I know it's tough and all that, but that old hard in our biggest Texas, and I know it. That's what impressed me about it. I know my heart. I want to leave. I want to go to New York this week, Brother Wood. And I want God to break out on me up there in New York. I don't want to go up there and hurt them boys. And I ain't going up there to be hard and bad on them. I want to go up there and weep over them. Cry on them. Try to help somebody get saved. Try to help my old preacher and his wife get encouraged. And I want God to break out of last week. I want God to break out in my life and my heart. I'm trying to help somebody.
I thank God. I like to hear him preach. I really do. I grew up as a young man in the community where I live. And as far as I'm concerned, God was completely healed. God was completely healed in that community. Three or four saints of God out there love the Lord and serve God as far as the church is concerned. And I remember after I was saved, they had revival. And revival in the Southern Baptist Church, it was just about like it is right here during this camp meeting. People wept and cried. And they had business meetings, man, wondering if God was really in there. One man walked up and asked his mother, said, I wonder if our granddaddy, wonder if he is here, wonder what he'd think. And if God knows, no doubt, the problem was every one of the deacons in that church, 85 or 90% of them were unsaved men, just wicked men. My dad remembers it very well. They raised $3,500 for missions. And one of the men there, associate pastor, he took and went on a vacation with it. I mean, God was hid. We never saw God out in our community. The immorality in the church, wicked, just wicked. Just a very few of them old saints of God, they lived for God. And the rest of it, 200, 250 people. You know what they did? They said, we're going to have February Sunday. We come and be one of the bunch, be one of the bananas. Well, there's all eight. They said, the main thing around here is just soul winning. I mean, just soul winning. Just go get somebody, and come down here and join this mess that we're in. And that's all it was. They tried to train me. I got up one morning. Pastor asked me if I'd preach, and I preached on Prepare to Meet Thy God. The power of God fell that morning some 30-odd years ago, and two grown men and two grown women came and got saved. The pastor called me back in the back, and he said, Jack, if you ever want to mount anything, Lord, you're going to have to quieten down, be quiet. And they started messing with me right there. Immediately. In other words, what you're going to have to do is backslide about 2 miles to fellowship with us. And if you don't, we ain't going to have it. We're just not going to have it. God was hid in that community. And I'm telling you the honest truth before the Lord. As a young man, I'd go around in the in the community and had them old Assembly of God preachers have tents up, and we'd see a little preacher. They done this. Them preachers all extinct. They're the dying breed. They're gone. And all you got now is a little pretty boy, perfumed up, with a Jimmy Carter smile. The Lord bless you. Oh, it was so good to have. I mean, I'd just soon a queer to shake my hand. And he had AIDS 3 times. I just can't handle it. I can't handle a professional preacher. A professional preacher just makes me want to puke on his clothes. That's what God says. You know, just standing up there. But boy, when God comes, and God comes and meets, here Wednesday night, 6 grown people got saved. Man, back there in the back, kneeling down behind a pew there, man, leading him to the Lord, back there getting saved. I like to see the power of God. I like to see the power of God. I got saved, I just got hungry to see the Lord. And I remember my dad is sitting here and he remembers this. I took a little old tent on 57, took it over and put it up on a corner, and we started preaching, and man started praying, God started moving, and there's people here this morning was in them services that got saved. We baptized 63 people in a 60-day campaign. God began to move, and they said, everybody in that community, they said, he's crazy. Said, you know what he said? Said, they've had Earl Hughes. Who ever heard of Earl Hughes? Said, they've got Ed Letford down here. Who ever heard? In 1958, had all those men, they were shouting, and even had a guy named Randy Pike running around on his crutches, hollering, you going to hell, you going to hell, you going to hell. Finally, he started pointing them crutches at people's face, hollering, you going to hell. Some of them decided they wasn't going to hell. They started running out. People was literally crawling down to the front. You know what happened? God went out to a little community. And Cottage Grove began to move and speak and deal with people. And I called a preacher up. He was visiting one of those churches over there. And I said, Brother John Wilder, would you mind coming over here and preaching for us? And the pastor drove him up to our church and let him out. He was 2 miles back to his church. And he said, John, I'm just sorry. I don't want nobody to see me here. He drove away. But you know what had happened? In November, we'd all said, preacher, you were there. You remember that. You were there. And we were shouting and praising God. Ernie Eddie was singing that song, the 99. And he said, man, people were going down and giving their silverware. And one guy gave his truck away to mission. I don't guess there's nothing wrong with giving silverware if you don't never eat out of nowhere and have to haul around your car to keep somebody from stealing it. Might as well give it away. I mean, you're miserable with it. This guy said he'd hauled up silverware 100 times more than 8 with it. Said he had it under the seat of his car. Keep somebody from stealing that big fine set of silverware. He put it in the mission. Nobody ain't never gonna steal it. Amen. One guy gave his pickup truck away and his wife divorced him. I said, man, you ought to gave that away 2 years ago. I mean, that woman getting rid of her was like getting rid of the plague, man. I mean, boy, what a blessing. He didn't think it was, but it really was. It was a blessing. I bet if he'd have knew it, he would have gave it away. But I would in my life. I don't know about in your life, but I just want to see the Lord.